Tantal Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dragon Born by Donna Grant, narrated by Anthony Ferguson. Chapter 1. Zora, Northern Border, Autumn. Freedom had never felt so good. Melisse flapped her wings and flew toward the foreboding clouds. A flash to the left caught her attention. She looked over in time to see bolts zigzagging across the turbulent sky. 3 beats later, a reverberating boom followed, rolling across the area like an aftershock. She loved the feeling of the icy rain as it pelted her scales. It was as invigorating as the frosty air of the northern climate. Melisse tilted onto her side so her wings were perpendicular to the ground. She swung around, folded them against her, and twirled her body in the rainfall. Just as she began plummeting, she spread her wings and glided along a current. An impressive show of lightning burst in every direction, like spidery fingers reaching for something, or someone. For a brief instant, it illuminated another dragon. She shook her head at Evander. The moment he had sensed the storm, he'd flown toward it. She might dare to fly near it, but she wasn't foolish enough to fly into it. She didn't need to open her mental link to know he was laughing joyfully. The dragons near them had hidden from the storm lest they get struck. As hearty and long-lived as their kind was, they could be killed, at least those who weren't dragon kings like Evander. As Melisse flew, she spotted a few dragons at the entrance to the caves. Even their gaze was drawn to Evander as he played in the storm. He frolicked. There was no other word for it. And there was no doubt the other kings would have joined him if they were about. Simply because the only time they had been allowed to take to the skies on Earth was during such storms. All so the humans wouldn't see them. Melisse blinked the water from her eyes and swung back around, her thoughts turning as dark as the skies. Earth had been her home, and her prison. She had been one of the first to volunteer to come to Zora, and although she had been excited to locate the dragons that had been sent away from Earth during the war with the humans, that wasn't the reason she had joined the kings in venturing to the new realm. Melisse was searching for somewhere she fit, a place to call home. It certainly wasn't Earth. How could it ever be? She was the product of a dragon king and a dark fey. As far as she knew, there were only 2 others like her. The twins, Branda and Eowyn. They were the offspring of Constantine, King of Dragon Kings, and Rhi, a royal light fey. The twins had governed Zora for centuries. They knew their place in the universe while Melisse was still trying to figure hers out. And the more she searched for that special location, the farther away it felt. She had hoped to find answers on this realm, but so far, all she had were more questions and doubts, and far more uncertainties. Earth had been her father's home, and the place her mother had chosen to live. It was where she had been born. But if she'd stayed there, she would have had to hide both her fey and dragon sides from the humans. And she had seen firsthand what that had done to the dragon kings. Why would she put herself through that? She hadn't spent much time with any fey outside of those mated to the kings. Her mother had been dark, which meant the light didn't want any part of Melisse, and the dark didn't trust her because she was half-dragon, so that effectively ruled out the fey. Con and the rest of the kings had opened their home to her, but she wasn't entirely comfortable at Dragon. She still carried a lot of animosity and resentment toward all kings. She was getting better at letting go of the past, but it would take more time. A lot more time. Which had made Zora sound so much more appealing. Imagine her surprise when she arrived to learn that the dragons detested the kings and anyone associated with them, including Melisse. They didn't care about anyone's backstory or their reasons. They had a blanket hatred that no one, not even Branda or Eowyn, who the dragons loved and adored, could penetrate. Then there were the humans on the realm. They knew about the dragons, and their loathing for all things magical was shocking and terrifying. War was brewing, a war the kings were desperately attempting to stop. The twins helped to keep the dragons pacified, but Melisse wasn't sure how much longer Eowyn and Brander could accomplish that. If the Dragon Kings abhorred one thing above all others, it was humans. Who could blame them when the mortals had forced their ancestors to abandon their home? The rain faded to a drizzle before gradually stopping altogether. Melisse flew to the top of a mountain that had become a favorite and landed. She searched for Evander, finally locating him farther northeast along the border. He had been tasked with watching the northern boundary while Hector surveyed the south side near the sea. The eastern and western borders were also being guarded. That's what things had come to. Watching and waiting to see who would make the first move. Melisse had flown over the entire swath of land claimed by the dragons. It was vast and beautiful. They had mountains and plains of flatlands, valleys and lakes, canyons and deserts. Plenty of room for them to roam as they pleased. When the dragons called Earth home, they had once been in clans dictated by color. Now they created their groupings, and the color combinations were stunning. She wished her father had been able to see such a sight. He had fought to do away with the clans, but the culture had been too ingrained even then. She shook, sending droplets flying from her scales. Then she shifted to her other form. The dragons thought she was human. She had once attempted to tell some that she was fey, but they didn't care to see the difference. She looked human, and that was all they cared about. Melisse sat on the cliff's edge and let her feet dangle over the side. She drew in a deep breath and let the icy air fill her lungs. The trees were an array of yellows, oranges, and reds mixed in with the evergreens. The smell of autumn hung heavy in the air, its brisk, crisp scent, a harbinger of winter soon to come. She gazed at the thick, steely clouds hanging over her. Zora had been made in Earth's image, and it was sometimes difficult to remember that she was on another realm. Then she would listen. She enjoyed the absence of human sound. There were no engine roars and no people noise. Utility poles weren't sticking out of the ground with lines connecting them to ruin the landscape, nor were there any paved roads. Zora was as wild and fierce as Earth had once been, at least within the borders of Dragonland. Outside those borders, humans and elves had civilized their respective regions. There were cities and villages, armies, and even conflict. She couldn't put that squarely on the mortal's shoulders, since her ancestors on her mother's side had waged a brutal civil war that lasted so long that it destroyed the Fey realm. Rhee had since healed it, and from what Melisse had last heard, the Fey were slowly beginning to return to the Fey realm. It didn't seem to matter where Melisse went. Chaos and anarchy were everywhere. All she wanted was a place to be herself. Her mother had done the impossible long ago and moved between realms before the Fey learned how to construct those doorways and follow in her footsteps. Maybe Melisse should be like her mother and find somewhere new. It would mean leaving everything and everyone behind, though. She had to give it to Conn and those at Dragon. They did their best to make her feel welcome and included, and it wasn't their fault she couldn't shake off her past or the lingering anger about her imprisonment. She hated to even think the word. Once freed, she'd tried to find her footing, but nothing was the same. Her parents were gone, and the world she'd known had turned into a strange and hostile environment. It was noisy and dirty, with only a few pockets where places resembled the Earth she had once known and loved. She had even wondered if she should have remained locked away. Then, she saw Henry. Thinking about the mortal made her chest ache with soul-deep longing. She shut off those thoughts. Too often of late, she found herself recalling his face, the curve of his lips when he smiled, and the way his hazel eyes seemed to see straight into her. At odd times, snippets of their conversations filled her mind, and it took her back to that moment with him. And always, her thoughts turned to their kiss. It had made her knees go weak and her stomach flutter with excitement and need. Henry had been her first kiss, and left a lasting impression that would forever be stamped in her mind so she could pull it up day after day. He had been kind and warm, had opened his heart to her, and she'd stomped all over it with harsh words. It didn't matter why she had been in a hurry. She should have taken those few moments and explained. If she had, maybe she wouldn't have been haunted daily by the sight of Henry at Dragon. He wouldn't hear her explanations, but she hadn't tried very hard to talk to him either. Instead, she'd left to see and experience the world on her own. Eventually, she returned to Scotland, to Henry, except he wasn't there. Then it didn't matter because she came to Zora. Yet Henry was still everywhere for her, in every leaf that fluttered in the wind, in the very molecules that shimmered unseen around them. He was in the warmth of the sunlight and the ethereal glow of the moonbeams. Through their mental link, Evander's voice nudged her. Melisse let him in and asked, "Did you have fun?" "More than you know, lass," he replied, a smile in his voice. His Scottish accent was as thick as her father's had been.
"Did you get struck by lightning?"
"No this time," Evander chuckled. "I have in the past, though, no a vera fun experience."
"Yet you still race towards storms."
"Aye, it's the only way we had fun for too many years." She leaned back on her hands.
"You can have your storms. I'll stick to the rain."
"You do not know what you're missing," he teased, then sobered. "I'm going to keep heading east for a wee bit. You good there?"
"I've got you covered. You shouldn't be here by yourself any more than Hector should be on his own in the south."
"Aye, but these borders are no as active as the eastern and western sides. I wouldn't mind the company, though."
"I can leave."
"Nay, you're fine just as you are." Melisse grinned.
"Figured you'd say that."
"At least we have something to look at. Poor Hector has a flat coastline and water."
"Whatever," she replied with a snort. "You think I've forgotten about the race you and Sebastian had in the North Sea?"
Evander laughed loudly. "Join us next time."
"Are you sure you want me to do that? I'd best any of you."
It was a boast. She was the smallest of all the Dragon Kings. "I think you could." He paused. "I'm glad you came to Zora." Melisse became uncomfortable any time the conversation turned to such things.
"Stay out of the storms."
"Be back in a few hours," he said, and severed the link. She blew out a breath and looked around at the mountain range. The peaks to the north were awe-inspiring. Their jagged, steep sides soared to amazing heights, their topography deeply cut by erosion. She had flown over bottomless river gorges and seen different flora and fauna with every mountain, as if each peak were a world all its own. The section she had chosen was at the base of a long, wide valley. Below her, an area of the valley looked like a bowl, as the mountains rose up at its slenderest spot. A dramatic waterfall cut down the mountainside opposite her, rushing toward a river that wove a path to the south. The grass was still green, but it wouldn't hold its color for much longer. It was a beautiful location, unfortunately interrupted by giant brambles that towered over even the dragons. A sound drew her attention to a group of pink dragons venturing out of their caves after the rain. They were the smallest of all the dragons. Perhaps that was why they were the only ones who'd kept to their clan, though they weren't one big clan, as some might assume. They were divided into several nomadic groups. They continually moved, meeting at certain times of the year in larger groups. Melisse's guess was that those gatherings were to socialize, but also so the dragons could find mates, which was significant, since dragons only had one mate. Melisse watched an elder male step out of a cave across the valley and immediately fly north, straight toward the thorn forest. The vines covered the entire valley, even across the border, except for the bowl area below. She kept away from the thicket. There was an ominous air to it that unsettled her. She sat up when she spotted a group of five pink younglings playing close to the brambles. Melisse got to her feet, ready to jump into action, but the male got to them first. She didn't know what he said, but whatever it was, it sent them hurrying back to their families. The male paused, looked back at the thicket, then flew to the others. Was something in there?
or was it simply parental instinct that had the male reacting so? Melisse swung her gaze back to the group of pinks and noticed that everyone had stopped what they were doing and rushed to greet the younglings. She frowned and returned her attention to the thorns. Even from this distance, they were enormous. The male's reaction bothered her. So too did the clan's reaction when the younglings returned. Perhaps she needed to shove aside that niggle of worry and take a closer look. It might all be in her head. If she could determine it was safe, it would alleviate the pink's fears, and perhaps even show them that she wasn't their enemy. She shifted into dragon form and dove from the cliff, making sure not to get too close to the pinks. They tolerated her and Evander, but they wouldn't engage in conversation. Melisse flew as low as she dared over the forest of thorns. They appeared to be huge brambles that twisted and turned around each other, creating a dense jungle with thorns protruding at every angle. Despite her enhanced vision, she couldn't see between the thorns to gauge if anyone or anything lay in wait. She reached the border and spun around for another pass. She flew over again and again, constantly searching. What she couldn't locate was the source of the vines. They had to start somewhere, but as far as she could tell, that was well past the border, extending through the long valley. She flew higher to see into the distance, but it was too great. The only way to find the answer she sought was to cross the border, which simply couldn't happen. Melisse returned to the mountain summit. One glance at the sky showed the sun well on its way down. She hadn't realized that she had spent so long studying the thorns. The pinks were gathered together now, and one pink was in obvious distress. Melisse dove toward them and landed far enough away so as not to cause alarm. Then she made her way to them. She opted to stay in dragon form in hopes it would get them to talk to her.
"Gone! He's gone!"
a female wailed. Melisse searched the group, but no one would look at her. Several of the small dragons were gathered around the female, and more were grouped in twos as they brought the younglings close. A set of elders spoke low, their heads together. Then she spotted the older male who had chased the younglings from the thicket earlier.
"What happened?"
she asked, hoping someone would answer her. The elder walked a few steps toward the forest before dropping his head. The female roared again, the pain and anguish in the sound making Melisse's throat thicken with emotion.
"Please, I want to help,"
she begged them. "Someone tell me what happened."
"There's nothing you can do."
It took her a moment to realize the reply had come from the older male.
"You don't know that. I didn't think he'd do it,"
one of the youngling lads said through sobs.
"We always dare each other, but we do not go in,"
said another. One of the young females shifted closer to her parents.
"He said he was going in and coming right back out."
"But he didn't, did he?"
a male bellowed. Given that he held the wailing female, he was most likely the missing lad's father. Melisse watched in horror as the families began turning to leave. One by one, the pinks somberly made their way into the caves, until she and the older male were the only ones left. She walked closer to him.
"I'm going after him,"
she declared.
"Then you will disappear like all the others. Any dragon who ventures into the thorns vanishes forever."
"We'll see about that."
Melisse returned to her fey form and strode to the thorn forest. At the edge, she turned and looked back at the elder.
"I'm going to find him and bring him home to his family."
Chapter 2. Earth. Highlands of Scotland. Spring. Time was running out. Henry felt it with every beat of his heart. His steps were long and purposeful, but his trek still took entirely too long. The moment he crossed the invisible barrier protecting the 64,000-acre estate, the Dragon Kings had been notified. They would be coming for him, and they would stop him. Or they would try. He was getting through the Fey doorway no matter what he had to do. There was no time for a discussion. There wasn't time for anything. He broke into a run. He had parked at the distillery instead of the manor, hoping to make it to the Dragonwood before one of the kings stopped him. Which one would it be? His guess was Ulrich, the King of Silvers, since he was in charge of Dragon while Conn was on Zora. Henry glanced to the side and spotted Dragon Manor in the distance. His gaze went to the sky. The kings didn't fly during the day, but that didn't mean they wouldn't if they thought the threat was significant enough. He was defying Conn's explicit orders, which meant he was a threat. He ran faster, pumping his legs and arms to push his body to its limit. Sweat beaded his skin, and he wished he had left his jacket in his vehicle. His lungs burned and his legs ached, but he didn't stop. He couldn't. He should have told his sister his plans, but he couldn't chance her passing the info onto her mate, Nikolai. They would soon learn that he was no longer on the Isle of Skye to help them with the situation the Sky Druids were dealing with. Esther had been furious when he left to travel to Zora the first time. Unfortunately, no one on Zora had been very pleased to see him either. He understood that things were in flux there, and adding another human to the mix with the dragons didn't make things any easier for the kings. If only Conn had listened to what Henry had to say. The instant he was within the trees, Henry let out a small sigh of relief. Even if he got to the Fey doorway on Dragon, he would still have to get past the kings once he reached Zora. But Henry didn't have a choice. He had to go. Something on Zora posed a threat to everyone. He had felt it through the doorway, and it was only growing darker and more powerful with each day that passed. He wove through the trees, slowing to a jog. Daily 5-mile runs kept him in shape, but he was likely to be pushed past his breaking point. He glanced behind him, but saw no one following. He looked up, but no large shadows crossed the bright sun. He looked to either side of him, but saw nothing. It wasn't just the kings Henry needed to be concerned about. Their mates were powerful in their own rights. Any of them could stop him. His mobile vibrated in his pocket. He didn't need to look to know it was Esther. He wished he could have told her and Nikolai what he planned. He wished they could have helped him. But Nikolai wouldn't go against Conn's orders, and right now, keeping the dragons on Zora calm was the king's main goal. Henry ignored the call and started running again. Only the Fae could see the doorway, but he had memorized its location. He scanned the area and didn't see anyone. Maybe he could get through without interference. He picked up speed, jumping over the small stream and continuing on. He was making a lot of noise, but stealth wouldn't help him now, only speed. His heart thumped excitedly as he spied the area he needed through the trees. He sprinted the last bit of distance, then burst into the small glade and slid to a stop, frantically searching for the rocks he'd placed on either side of the door. But they were gone. That meant the kings knew he might return. Henry curled his hands into fists, frustration and fear churning in his gut. He didn't have time for this. A sound to his left drew his attention. Henry found Sebastian leaning a shoulder against a tree as he studied a wren that had landed on his finger. Years of work as a spy for MI5 kept Henry calm, even as he scanned the area for more dragon kings. The doorway was there, even if the markers he'd placed after returning from Zora the last time weren't. He'd just have to guess. But he would only get one chance. "We thought you were on Skye," Sebastian said, his topaz gaze remaining on the bird. The King of Steels stood relaxed, indifferent even, in jeans and a white tee with the long sleeves shoved up to his elbows. His golden brown hair was pulled back in a queue at the base of his neck. Henry studied Sebastian. "I have to get to Zora." The bird flew away, and Sebastian crossed his arms over his chest, his gaze locking on Henry. "Why?" "I've already explained it." "No, to me." Henry felt the seconds ticking away, moments that could be all there was between life and death. The Dragon Kings were millions of years old and more powerful than any other being on the planet. Sebastian could take Henry's life with a snap of his fingers. He had lived with the kings and had seen them ruthlessly cut down threats to earth while being exceedingly generous to those they cared about. He was their friend, someone who had freely been welcomed into their world, and he would always be their friend. But right now he stood in defiance of Conn's orders, and that raised concerns.
"Henry!" Sebastian pressed.
He blew out a breath.
"There isn't time for this."
"Make time,"
the king stated flatly. It was easy to forget how dangerous the Dragon Kings were. They never flaunted their power unless pushed, and he was pushing things.
"There is something dangerous on Zora."
"Aye. There are the Star People, who apparently once enslaved my kind." Sebastian dropped his arms to his sides and pushed away from the tree as his brogue deepened.
"There's the invisible food that can kill dragons and do quite a lot of damage to a king. Then there are the elves who want to test us."
Henry shook his head and raked a hand through his hair.
"I know all about that."
Then the words penetrated and he drew up.
"Wait, did you say elves?"
"A recent development," Sebastian said as he approached.
"Things are no going well on Zora. Another human walking through that doorway will only make things worse."
"I wouldn't be going if it weren't important. I've tried to explain to Conn, but he won't listen."
Sebastian's eyes held his.
"Then tell me."
Tick, tock. The clock in Henry's head kept ticking away. He really didn't have time for this, but if he didn't try, he might not make it to the doorway. And he had to go through. He drew in a breath and said,
"I don't have magic. Even though I'm considered a druid, I have no abilities, save one. I can sense druids."
"Aye." Sebastian's brows drew together in a frown.
"Are you telling me that's what you feel? A druid?"
"That's exactly what I'm saying. On Zora."
Henry nodded and adjusted his coat as his body began cooling down.
"Not just any druid either. A very powerful, dangerous one."
When Sebastian didn't reply, Henry kept talking.
"I know my sister and I are a team, the Truth Seeker and the Justice Bringer. It is our job to police the druids. Our family was nearly annihilated because of it. I know what I feel."
"And Esther?"
Henry looked away.
"She can sense druids, but she doesn't feel what I do. Not this time.
The kings have handled druids before."
"Maybe, if they know where to look."
"You think you can find the druid?"
"I know I can."
Sebastian quirked a brow.
"A bold statement, but a true one."
The king glanced at the ground and then released a long breath.
"You've been a good friend to us. I believe you."
That should have been enough. Yet it wasn't, not nearly. Even before Henry asked, he knew the answer.
"But?"
"I have orders not to let anyone through."
Henry nodded slowly and glanced to the right. Tick, tock. Could he dive toward the area where he thought the doorway was before Sebastian reached him? Or worse, used his ability, his breath of electricity? Unlikely. But he had to take the chance. He shifted his feet, moving himself an inch or two to the right.
"I have to stop this druid."
"Is it just the druid?"
Henry didn't play dumb. He knew Sebastian was asking about Melisse, the woman who had brought his world into vivid clarity, the woman who had him falling head over heels for her. They had a complicated relationship, made more so because of who she was and who he wasn't.
"I see,"
Sebastian said at Henry's silence. How did he explain that the urgency propelling him to take such drastic actions was a combination of the druid and Melisse? That it was warped in such a way that he couldn't tell which was which? He only knew one thing. He had to find them both.
"You should have told us this was about Melisse," Sebastian stated.
Tick, tock. Henry squeezed his eyes shut for a heartbeat.
I don't know how she's involved, so don't ask.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?